Good morning. My name is Lynn, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mega Cable's earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question-and-answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Kenya Vargas with iAdvize Corporate Communications for opening remarks.
Thank you, and welcome to Mega Cable's first quarter 2018 conference call. Joining us today from Mega Cable, Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Tetzer, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be discussing the quarterly results before taking questions from the audience. Please note that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements which do not account for future economic circumstances, company performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions. For a complete disclaimer, we ask that you refer to the quarterly release that was issued yesterday. If you didn't receive the information and would like to be added to the Mega Cable mailing list, please contact us in New York at 212-406-3696. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Kenya. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Megacable started off the year with very solid results. We believe that the strategy we have set forth, our track record of prudent business decisions, as well as our highly experienced and dedicated team, resulted in significant profitability growth. As a result, we reached remarkable EBITDA margin, both in terms of the consolidated figures as well as for cable operations. During this quarter, we were able to continue the positive growth trend observed since the second quarter of 2017. Once again, this resulted in higher ARPU levels as well as consistent revenue and profit growth. Additionally, and as a result of the solid cash generation, Megacable was able to reach a new cash position after the financial debt, despite the sizable investment in the network. With regards to the massive market, during this period, we recorded the fourth consecutive quarter with subscriber growth in all three segments. Starting with video, we have returned to the normal levels of growth recorded before the analog shutdown, which we aim to continue in the future. During the quarter, we also continued with the process of subscriber digitalization, reaching 81% of our total subscribers, which ultimately allowed us to offer better products such as HD and XView, which continue to gain subscribers with each quarter. On the other hand, our internal segment continues to grow, internet segment continues to grow at a faster pace than the rest of the market. We have ensured that the segment remains competitive by offering the best prices and a premium experience for our subscribers, always complemented with the top customer service. Finally, telephony continues to benefit from our bundling strategy, recording subscribers growth in a contracted market. In the highly competitive market that we operate in, certain factors have allowed us to remain one step ahead of our competition, thereby generating positive results for our shareholders. This includes our ability to innovate and create new products at reasonable prices, the efficient use of our resources, and our focus on customer service. The corporate segment has become a highly important part of the group. Thus, Megacable is steadily moving towards positioning itself as one of the largest players in the market, increasing our geographic presence and therefore diversifying our revenue sources. The consolidation of Ola and Metro Carrier has also generated significant synergies for the company by offering products and services to a market that previously may not have had access to them, therefore representing a great business opportunity for the company. Regardless of political and macroeconomic situations in the months to come, we are certain that our product, both massive and enterprise markets, will continue with positive trends. We are confident that the company's solid operating performance, stable financial profile, and a strong customer base will allow us to continue to deliver positive results to our shareholders despite the potential challenges. Added to that, we are well positioned in the market versus other players, and we offer a distinct quality of service that generates long-term consumer loyalty. Therefore, we're prepared in the best possible manner for the upcoming months in the marketplace. Finally, I am pleased to announce that at the General Ordinary Shareholders Meeting, a dividend payment was approved in the amount of 1,531 million pesos, representing 20% of 2017 EBITDA. This is higher than the figure stipulated in the dividend policy. The payment will be in one installment in May of 2018. Thank you for your attention. At this point, I will turn the call over to Raimundo and Luis so that they can walk you through additional details regarding the company's operating and financial results. Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. I will now take you through the operating results. In terms of the massive market, at the end of the first quarter, we were able to reach 7.4 million RGUs, which represented a 15% increase compared to the first quarter of 2017. RGUs per unique subscriber rose to 2.13, representing a 9% increase when compared to the first quarter of 2017. This result was driven by our bundling strategy, which allow us to offer more attractive packages to consumers, thereby increasing the competitiveness of our products. Broadband continues to be the main driver for subscriber growth. During the quarter, we were able to record 111,000 net adds to reach 2.7 million subscribers on an annual basis. 432,000 new subs were recorded. That is a 19% growth when compared to the first quarter of 2017. It is worth mentioning that we constantly seek to provide customers with an enjoyable and high quality experience. This includes the migration to higher speeds. With more than 57% of our subscribers with 20 megabits or more, compared to 35% a year ago, and increasing the range of subscribers' connectivity capabilities, which is made possible by consistent network investment. As such, during this quarter, we increased our Metro Wi-Fi footprint by 29% when compared to the first quarter of 2017, reaching 7,000 hotspots. The video segment reached 3.1 million subscribers at the end of first quarter 2017, adding 61,000 new subs for the quarter. On a year-to-year basis, we reached 183,000 net adds, representing a 7% increase when compared to the first quarter of last year. We continue to work closely on maintaining our customer base by implementing commercial strategies aimed towards more quality subscribers. These strategies have proved to be on target. The first quarter of 2018 is our fourth consecutive quarter of higher subscriber figures, while at the same time, churn rates have decreased. During the quarter, we continue with the digitalization process, which allow us to offer a better experience for the user, as well as additional services. At the end of the quarter, we reached 81% of the total subscriber base already digital. HD packages have also grown at a great pace, reaching 600,000 subs at the first quarter of 2018, increasing 73% when compared to March last year. Regarding the XView platform, this product has been accepted above expectations. Subscribers are using the platform and actively taking advantage of all the features and interactive capabilities available, thus incrementing the satisfaction rate. We expect to continue increasing the content available in the coming months. During the quarter, we recorded net adds of 79,000, reaching a total of 249,000 XView subscribers for the quarter. We believe that innovative products that offer the subscriber a far better experience, such as HD or XView, are key strengthening customer retention, setting us apart from the competition, while at the same time contributing to the ARPU. Telephony continued to grow at a steady rate, totaling 88,000 net adds during the quarter to reach 1.6 million subscribers. On an annual basis, the company reached 355,000 net adds, a 30% increase compared to first quarter 2017. The segment growth strategy continues to focus on offering the market an attractive packaging alternative, in which telephony plays the role of a secondary or additional service, but with a significant contribution to margin when included in triple play packages. The overall product mix has shifted during the last 4 months as a result of the aforementioned increases. Our bundling strategy aimed at selling double and triple play packages has been vital. Therefore, these packages now represent 73% of the current portfolio compared to just 64% of last year. ARPU per unique subscriber rose to 375.70 pesos and continues to grow. This figure reached a new record in the company's history, representing a 5% increase compared to the first quarter of 2017. This was due to the previously mentioned RU growth, contribution of new triple play subscribers with greater ARPU, and increasing rates to current subscribers strategically applied by region, as well as additional service like HD and XView, like I mentioned before. Video sharing continues to be a main focus in our goal to achieve healthier ads. During the quarter, we were able to successfully maintain the 2.4% figure recorded during the last quarter of 2017. The 2.4% churn is the lowest level attained by Mega Cable since first quarter 2016. Additionally, the churn rate for broadband and telephony also contributed to subscriber growth during the quarter at 2.3% and 4.8% respectively, the lowest levels in the past 5 quarters. Lastly, with regards to the corporate telecom segment, it continues to deliver excellent results, soundly positioning Mega Cable as one of the leading players in a more profitable market. Revenues at Metro Carrier reached a 63% increase compared to the first quarter of 2017 as a result of the organic growth in existing and the expansion to new cities like Monterrey, Cancun, and Mexico City, which are now providing connectivity and infrastructure services to other carriers as well as private and government segments. Hola, excluding the CFE project, grew by 31% during the quarter, while MCM increased by 17%. The result in this segment reflects the company's strategy of offering a wide range of services with innovative products and solutions. And despite working on different front ends, generating synergies and value by efficiently taking advantage of available resources, always supported by the Mega Cable network. Now, Luis, will you take you through the financial highlights? Luis?
Thank you, Raimundo, and good morning, everyone. I will now give you more details about the financial figures prior to taking your questions. In the first quarter of 2018, consolidated revenues reached 4,695 million pesos, a 9% increase when compared to the first quarter of previous year. However, excluding revenues related to the CFE project in 2017, revenues for the first quarter 18 increased by 14%. In the revenue breakdown, the video segment contributed 43% of the total consolidated revenue for the quarter. Broadband accounted for 31%, corporate 17%, telephony and others accounted for 8% and 1% respectively. In the massive market, video revenues grew by 7%, mainly due to a higher number of subscribers. Broadband segment continues its positive trend during the quarter. It reached 21% higher revenues, while telephony's revenue decreased when compared to the first quarter of 2017 due to lower ARPUs, a result of the discounts associated with bundling strategy and new commercial offers favoring broadband higher speed over voice. Regarding the telecom corporate segment, revenues increased an outstanding 39% during the quarter. Excluding the CFE project, MetroCarrier continues to drive growth across the segment, recording a 63% increase in revenue during the period, followed by Ola with 31% and MCM with 17% growth. Cost of services decreased 1% when compared to the first quarter 2017. This was mainly due to the completion of the CFE project, which accounted for 143 million pesos during the first quarter of 2017. SG&A increased only 5% during the quarter, well below compared to the increase in RGU, helped by last year's non-recurring charge and the cost-efficient efforts. In summary, 9% increase in revenues and 1% lower cost, coupled with an increase of only 5% in SG&A, resulted in an outstanding 19% increase in consolidated EBITDA to reach 2,220 million pesos for the period. The EBITDA margin also rose significantly from 43.6% in the first quarter of 2017 to 47.3% in first quarter 18. EBITDA for cable operations reached 2,091 million pesos, a 19% increase when compared to last year, reflecting a margin expansion that reached 49.2%. The company's net profit as 1,087 million pesos, a 3% increase when compared to same quarter of last year. Impact below EBITDA level was mainly due to higher depreciation compared to the first quarter 17, but in line with the CAPEX invested in previous quarters and the comprehensive financial result. In the first quarter 18, Megacable recorded again a positive net cash position of 177 million pesos, as a result of the company's solid cash flow generation. EBITDA to interest coverage ratio was 24 times at the end of the period. With regards to CAPEX, during the first quarter, Megacable invested 1,219 million pesos. This represents 26% of the total revenues. Most of these resources were allocated towards development of the corporate network, subscriber equipment acquisition, construction of new network kilometers, and modernization of the network. Thank you for your attention. We will now open the floor for your questions. Operator, please go ahead.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, it is star and one on your touchtone phone if you'd like to ask a question. And our first question comes from Alejandro Gallastra with BBVA. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my question. I would like to get an update on your view for the XView product. I recall that your initial expectations were to reach approximately, correct me if I'm wrong, but 500,000 subs by June of this year. And currently, it seems that you are halfway through this goal. Have your expectations changed for the XView product and its contribution? What are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Alejandro. This is Raimundo, and thank you for the question. I didn't quite get what the number you have at the beginning, but let me tell you what we believe that we should end the year pretty much in around 750,000 subscribers the way we have it. We still launched the service in most of the markets, and it's been adopted well. We're very happy, as I said in my intervention, that the use of the content is well above our original forecast or expectations. So we believe it's going to give us a stickiness of the subscriber as well as an increase in ARPU. And if you might look at the growth that we have in the past and migration of subscribers, you can think in ending the year in something around 750,000, which I believe is what we disclosed before.
So you expect, Raimundo, 750,000 subs by the end of this year using XView?
Yes. That's what we expect. You know, we're at 250 right now. We expect to triple that amount by the end of the year, the way we're growing and the plans that we have here in the management.
Okay. I would expect the increase in XV subscribers to help you decrease the churn rate throughout the year. However, it seems that you're doing already a good job on reducing the churn rate, as you mentioned, probably due to the push that you're doing on the triple play packages. But do you expect the churn rate to continue going down as a result of the increased usage in the XView product?
Well, we believe that the XView platform on those levels and the adoption of the product will help us to keep in line the churn levels that we have right now. We believe are historically low for Mega Cable on that part. That 2.4% churn rate comes from people that don't need services, which is logical, and people that can afford to pay. We have internally our numbers to support that theory. And since we're going to continue to be growing in some lower and mid levels on that part, that's going to put pressure in the lower levels. But XView is going to give us a better quality and retention of the subscriber of the existing base. So overall, you can look at the churn rate levels of video, broadband, and telephony very, very close to what we have right now. I will really suggest you to stay to those numbers.
Thank you. Thank you, Raimundo. And my second question, do you have plans to increase prices this year to probably offset the high inflation and or pay for better content? And what would be the increasing prices that you plan to implement this year?
Well, we keep a policy, of course, of increasing the ARPU and hopefully above the level of inflation. It is hard to transfer that to the subscriber straight the way it is. But we do, and as I said, we increase rate on strategically regions and strategic packages. The increase in ARPU that we have in video, broadband, or everything comes from a full combination of increasing some rates, the increase in RGUs all together around that path, and the increase of RGU per unique subscriber. Also the contribution of XView, HD, and new products that will increase. Altogether, that's what it gives us an increase in the ARPU. And the rates, you will continue to see a increase in rates, but they will be strategically where we can do that and assign to some customers. We will always try to keep with inflation when we can. I cannot tell you what plans do we have for the second quarter, but we like the ARPU. We have a higher ARPU than last year, and we like the ARPU the way it is, and we will continue to look and provide that level of ARPUs in the future, hopefully keeping the level or around that 375 that we have. That's where we would like to be, all around with the mix of rates and new products.
Thank you very much, Raimundo. And my last question, if I may, I would like to get a better understanding of all the reasons behind the margin improvement that we've seen this quarter. Is there anything extraordinary that happened in the first quarter of this year, or this is the levels of EBITDA margin that we should expect going forward?
You want to say something?
Yep, sure. Jandro, how are you doing? This is Luis Setter. So first of all, the increase in the revenues is, of course, what's the number one in the list for the expansion of the margin. We have been able to, again, grow revenues in video on a larger pace that we did on the last quarter of last year. So, and this is the way it's going to behave for the rest of the year. So that's number one. That's a very good news for us, and that's solid revenue growth that we expect. Number two is that we are being cautious on our costs, and that this is a reflection of reduction in several areas that we have been working in the past, including the reduction as a benefit of the U.S. dollar exchange rate, which helped us also in the first quarter. That's not a certainty that will stay with us for the remaining of the year, but at least for Q1, it was something that helped. Across the table, we have also, last year in the same quarter, we have a one-time expense that impacted the results last year in the quarter, but that's not going to happen this quarter or the quarters by the end of the year of 2018. So in few words, we think we have a very good very good opportunity to reach our guidance on the numbers that we provide, and we feel comfortable that we will be reaching that.
Maybe you want to mention the seasonality of the first quarter last year for revenues.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, of course, if you recall, last year on Q1, we had a loss of subscribers and video, and that meant also a reduction in video revenues, as I mentioned. So this is going to the largest gap between subscribers, because the lower number of subscribers in video, we reached that in April 2017. So this means that we are reaching the highest gap between the subscribers, as the growth will be a compression growth to growth compared to May, June, et cetera. So April will be also a high gap, or the highest gap in terms of subscribers. And we hope that will show a good number also for Q2. And again, we have not 100% certainty on what's going to happen in the second half of 2018. There are many things on the economic impact that could happen, the elections, NAFTA, many other things, but we are confident, at least from our efforts and what we can do internally, we have done many steps towards having a great year.
Okay, I understand. So basically, if we leave apart the contribution of the CFE project in first quarter last year and the positive contribution of FX this quarter, basically what you're saying is that you have a fair degree of operating leverage in your video segment. Is that correct?
Yes. We expect video to account again as one of the largest revenue contributors, and also in terms of the EBITDA on the bottom line.
So basically, as your video subscribers grow, that unlocks the operating leverage that you have. That also happens with the other businesses, especially with the broadband service, or not?
We think, as we are bundling services across the table, we want triple play to be the main the main driver for our sales, and that's bringing higher ARPU per unique subscriber, and that's bringing higher number of RGUs per subscriber, and that of course means higher revenues and less effort and identifying effort as expenses needed to get additional money in the bank. So that's, at the end, expansion of the margin. We expect the margin to expand compared to previous years, and this is the we are showing that on Q1, but we have to be very cautious on thinking that we will be able to sustain a 49% or a 47% on the consolidated margins, keeping expanding. So I think our margins are across the best in Latin America. So we think we will keep that, and just keeping that number will result in the figures that we have for the year.
So basically, the way I understand this is that the operating leverage basically comes from the overall push that you're making on the triple play offerings, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alejandro.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Diego Aragao with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks for the call and thanks for taking my question. I guess at this point I have just one question for you guys. So basically I want to understand your CapEx. What is the reason behind, you know, the 26% CapEx to sales reported in the first quarter, as this amount seems, you know, much higher than what you have been historically reporting for the first quarter? So, for instance, can you give us more colors on how much you are spending in each line item, like corporate network expansion or purchase of subscriber equipment? That would be great. Thank you.
Sure. And thanks for your question, Diego. And yes, we have been on the last previous, on the last two previous years, that means 15 and 16, we were reporting figures as a percentage of revenues in the around 20s. This is the first quarter in 3 years that we report 26% of our revenues. And basically, what I can tell you is last year we were behind because at this stage in time, last year we had not acquired the subscriber equipment because we were in the middle of rearranging the XView and all the changes that and taking the decision which was the equipment that we were going to use. And that was not decided in the during the first quarter. So what happened really is that we were now able, or we are capable now, to acquire equipment that we know where we are going to be using for the future. And that's why we have normalized more or less what we spend on subscriber equipment. What was outstanding this quarter was a little bit the number of kilometers that we built. That we almost doubled the number of kilometers we built on the first quarter of last year. And but this is a positive trend in our opinion, because that's to bring new subscribers on board. And this is part of what we had in expansion to what we have last year at the same level. So 26% of CapEx, it goes really in line with the 27% that we are targeting for the year. And we think that we will be able to reach that by the end of 2018.
Mostly that, Diego, what we said, it is a normal way of CapEx expenditures for us. It just took the expense of the first quarter for the set-top boxes, like he said, and we increased the speed of certain new kilometers that we were planning to build. But we are in line with what we have and we release as guidance for the year.
Okay, no, that's very helpful. So just let me make sure that I understood correctly. So can you provide the amount of you know, the equipment that you were able to, you know, to purchase during the quarter?
During the quarter, I'm not sure we can disclose that level of detail. Can maybe we can have a
maybe,
call?
Maybe we
a
can
call.
We can have a call, Diego, on that part, not to disclose so specific pricing and
right and in the acquisition, but we can arrange a call, no problem.
Okay, that's okay. All right, thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gregorio Tomasi with Atua BBA. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Enrique, Raimundo, and Luis. And again, congratulations for the good results. My first question is about corporate service revenue. And basically, what's your midterm outlook for this line of business? If you can remind us where you're heading to in terms of growth. And with that in mind, if you can also share with us what you're thinking about what you're still missing, either in terms of network, scale, any skills that you think Megacable doesn't have and would like to have and sees the opportunity to have, and any geographies in Mexico, within Mexico, that are still untapped for Megacable and continue to be an opportunity. So what are the drivers and what you're eyeing relative to your growth plans for the next 3 years, let's say?
Sure. Go ahead, please. I'll complement later.
Yeah. Basically, we are very happy with the results in the corporate area. Of course, Metro Carrier growing 63%, but now has if you take this compared to this trend compared to our guidance for the end of the year, now it makes sense. When we were talking about reaching that the number growing 50% Metro Carrier again with an expanded base, reaching almost 1 billion pesos of revenue last year, that was really a challenge. And now we are showing the muscle with the results in the first quarter, and that's something that of course will bring some certainty to you guys. And the other business units, OLA, growing 31% with excluding the CFE project. And by the way, this is the last quarter in 2017 that we will be comparing, or 2018, sorry, that we will be comparing with CFE, because that was the last quarter we had revenues or EBITDA coming from that project. And meaning that in the future, you will see a higher number or higher figure compared to the previous quarter of second quarter 18 and beyond, because we will not include in the previous years the CFE project. So that will be more clean, or a cleaner way to see revenues and EBITDA being more in line. And also MCM growing at 17% pace. We were targeting a 12 to 15% growth in MCM. So this helps us also to show that we are very good in line with what we have. What is pending is really continuing to use that network that we built on new cities, Mexico, Monterrey, and other areas, that we can increase the usage. And by increasing the usage, of course, incrementing the revenues coming from the same assets. And this is something that we expect could put us above what we have in line for guidance. But, you know, just that's just revenue in addition to what we have. I'm not sure if that answers your questions, or do you need more detail?
Yes, it does. But beyond, in terms of your views, what is it? Is there anything you're missing to complete your strategy there in terms of additional scale? As I said, skills, any geographies that still need to be tapped, meaning, and again, beyond 2018, what could be a level of growth for the next 2 years?
Let me jump into that, Gregorio. It was very, very well said by Luis, the explanation about the revenues. As you might be aware, on our results, we also have an increase in EBITDA margin coming from that segment. Since we already built and increased our network in strategic areas like Mexico City, Monterrey, Cancun, among others, you can see an increase in EBITDA by doing synergies in investment that we have, for example, in Mexico City between MCM and Metro Carrier. On that part, we share part of that infrastructure. We believe that we are going to focus on those three or four major markets right now. We have some plans to grow, but that are not that important in the next months to come. We would like to capitalize what we put on those networks. We believe our network has a large scale. We are interconnected to the U.S., to the Tier 1 by three different border crossing points, and we have more than 22,000 kilometers of interurban cities all across. We're one of the largest networks that we have. Just that, tie that to the 57,000 last miles that we have around all the cities. I think we're very, very well positioned right now to continue to bring growth in between 35% year over year between all our corporate business units. Of course, Metro Carrier being the one keeping the highest growth, and keeping the EBITDA the way you see it for this quarter will be our view. So I think we're very well positioned again, and the view is to be one of the major players in the corporate segment all across Mexico.
Sorry, you said 25-30% growth outlook possible? Sustainable?
35% growth in between Metro Carrier, MCM, and Ho1a is pretty much what we set on the guidance before. And if you see this quarter, we have 39%.
Yeah.
So we're pretty much in line on that part. Metro Carrier keeping growth at paces of 55% year-over-year.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And my second question is going back a little bit to CapEx. So I didn't get it very well. What's the new normalized level of CapEx as percentage of revenues that you see for 2018 and going forward, if possible?
Well, for 2018, what we expect is to reach 27% of revenues. We think 2019 we'll still have some special projects to build and will go down, but not as much, 23-24%.
Right.
And then maybe in 2021, 2022, we can start seeing numbers on 20s or below 20s. Just to reflect the reduction in some of the CapEx that we need today for digitizing networks and also investing on partitioning nodes and stuff like that.
Thank you very much. This was very helpful.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Andre Baggio with J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. So you have been doing very good results, especially in broadband. Can you make a comment on a little bit how is the competitive environment? Like, say, I believe that your main competitor is América Móvil. Is América Móvil investing a lot, or you're benefiting from them, like, say, having a legacy network? And how far do you think that this market share gains can go?
Thank you, Andre. It was indeed, we believe, good results for the quarter. We're very, 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 very happy about that, about what we delivered. Broadband being the major contributor, of course, for most of the telco companies. In the markets where we are, our growth of 19% year-over-year is above the growth of the market. So we're taking share, gaining market share quarter-over-quarter. We know that América Móvil is investing, has fiber to the home in some areas, in some cities where we are. It keeps the legacy network in other areas where we are. We are focusing in continuing to upgrade our network to provide, like I said, the majority of our subscribers from 20 megabits or above. We have right now the majority in 20 megabits, so we have a strong network, and we invest on a very sharp and smart way on strategic regions to do that. So you can expect for the guidance and the growth that we have to continue to take market share from our main competitor in the quarters to come. The market, of course, will continue to grow in broadband years to come, as you all know, as you all are aware.
Perfect. And the second question, let's say, sorry to repeat something I asked last quarter, but maybe I will insist for the time being. What have been the studies with regards to mobile operations with Rede Compartida? I know you are a partner. I know that you offer them service, but how have been developing the studies to use the service of Rede Compartida?
You are talking about the MVNO?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, we continue to look for applications and niche sectors of the market where we can be successful. We haven't closed and decided to launch the system. We continue to have it on our bucket list for the year, for second half of this year. But as we said before, we won't launch something that is not going to contribute to the margins of the company or will put in risk the operation that we have, and we're looking into those niche sectors. We don't have right now anything to release as whether we are going to launch or not. an MVNO service in Megacable.
Perfect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Legarreta with GBM. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you. Good morning. My first question is regarding the revenues from Red Compartida. Just to confirm, I understand you booked them on the Metro Carrier, and if it would be possible, you may not be able to disclose the actual figure, but out of the 63% growth we see in Metro Carrier, would you say that half of that maybe comes from Altán?
No, not at all. I can tell you that this is an important customer, but it's not by far the percentages that you have just mentioned
okay.
on that part. No.
Okay.
At all.
Okay, I guess you already mentioned that you expect a 35% growth for MetroCar, MTM, and OLA, and I would assume that includes those revenues, right?
Oh yeah,
that
it does,
right.
It does, Carlos.
Right.
But let me be very very clear. When I say
sure.
35% is among those three companies, of course MTM, very with the lowest growth in revenue in a much more steady market on that part. Metro Carrier holding the highest revenue growth, and that growth is going to be above 50% year over year, at least for 2019. You can count on that growth. Just for this quarter, we have 63% coming on Metro Carrier growth, and I would like to have you guys keep that in mind that we're having a great success on the corporate business on the hands with Metro Carrier on that part. And Red Compartida takes. It is a good customer. It takes a significant part of that road, but it's not on levels that we depend on Red Compartida for the results of the year. You can be assured of that.
Thank you very much for the clarification. Now, for the second question, some more, I guess, structural one. Your main competitor just mentioned that they see, a penetration on pay TV, let's say a ceiling at around 75% of households. Do you agree with that figure, or do you have ambition a different target?
Well, I'm not so sure about what competitor said that, but 75% sounds very logical to me. That means 75% of compact with a pay TV service. Right now, the market it's around 58 to 60% according to our figures. So that gives us around 17 points of growth in the years to come, which is, I hope we can. You know, this one, Carlos, you can look at this as the way we see it is a triple play package. We're growing on triple play. Pretty much most of our sales are very similar. The difference is the subscriber base that we have. So if we provide gross ads, let's say of 130,000 every month, those are 140,000 goes for video, broadband, and telephony because we're just selling triple play packages. That's where we're focused. Where we talk about our unique ads, we talk about triple play unique ads. And if we believe that Compass are going to have 75% penetration of triple play packages, yeah, I'm pretty sure we can have that. I don't know, Rick, if you can.
Well, yeah, but on top of that, we sell only triple play. Well, not only triple play. We push for triple play. The other fact is that we, on top of that, we are looking at our current subscriber base and trying to upsell the subscribers that have a single play or a double play to a double or to a triple package. So I think that obviously broadband is the big driver and will continue to be the big driver. But yeah, we're that's pretty much our strategy.
Right.
And we're online.
No, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Ah, thanks. In terms of the RGUs per unique subscriber, I mean, obviously you have grown this to 2.1, which which is a big difference compared to a few years ago. Do you guys have an internal target for this? I'm not saying for the year, but more as a long-term goal, or whether what is the target that you want to reach? I mean, I assume the target is 3, but I don't know if you have
No.
I hope it is 3.
We don't know. I mean, but I think it's going to keep growing. Maybe 2.5. We have cities where we have almost 2.5 RGUs per unique subscriber, especially in bigger cities like Hermosillo, Guadalajara. You know, those cities where the economy is better. And the adoption of new technologies is better also. But, yeah, it will continue to grow, but we don't know how far. Obviously, we don't think it's going to be 3. We wish it would be 3, but no. A lot of people will, you know, over time decide to use video, broadband as a video source only. But so far we haven't seen that trend dramatically yet, especially because the pricing of video in our service, in our context, is not that dramatically high. So we don't have the problem that other countries, developed countries like the U.S. and Canada and all those, have. A video is really, really high because it's been historically high. In our environment, video has been historically low. It's not an expensive service. That's why it's very unappealing to drop it. Okay, so they will keep it.
And also, Carlos, we have that 2.5, like Luis told you, that we're looking into as an average. We won't have the 3 because, as I said, telephony becomes of a complementary service included whether you want it or not. But the way we all should look at that is that if you count RGUs coming also from new XView subscribers or SD packages or new packages coming to the market, at the end, what it is important to us is how can we contribute to the increase in ARPU for the company, whether it comes from an increase of telephony or an increase of XView. That's the key goal that we have as a management. So we count internally those 250,000 XView subscribers are 250,000 new RGUs for us. Whether you guys don't see it in the market, that's different on that part. And also telephony, whether we have a decrease in ARPU on telephony, well, it is really because it's bundling a package. On a package where we have a lower price for that telephony because some people are doing less calls. If you see fixed lines, are using less or every day. But we really don't count on that. We count as a full triple play coming from $4.99 to $7.99. So in that one, those goes all the RUs from different services that we provide. So that's our view of what's going to happen in the future.
That's great. Thank you very much for your comments.
You're welcome.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you can press *1 on your touch-tone keypad. Our next question comes from Gilberto Garcia with Barclays. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. So now that you have come back to having a net cash position, I would also like to make a question that I have asked in the past about the how you see your capital structure in the medium to long term. I guess you have a nice problem to have where you have too much money and your margins are, you know, improving quite a bit. So, you know, longer term, how do you see things going? Where is there something, an area in particular where you would like to grow organically, inorganically? Any color would be much appreciated. Thank you.
Luis, will you like to disclose our great position?
Oh, well, we just mentioned that we have a net cash position of 177 million pesos, but, having a net cash position positive with the opportunity to have a check from the bank to acquire not whatever we want, but but a good amount of money to acquire something that becomes interesting. We have been always open to any business that makes sense for us, and that's been the indication from the board that if we find something that makes sense for the business and has a sound business case and represents incremental benefit for the company, we have the opportunity to do it. We have not found at the right price the right asset at this point in time. We will keep looking, but meanwhile, the decision from the board is that if there's no better place for the money, then issue dividends. And that's exactly what was approved on the last board meeting, and we will issue the dividend next month. So for the long term, the cash structure should be having a net debt, that's no doubt. And how we will reach it, and hopefully, is by acquiring something that makes sense for the business. We will keep looking for that opportunity.
And Roberto, I believe it was Gregorio who was asking about what's the view that we have and we would like to have, and that. Well, we would like to keep looking for possibilities of growing our both segments. Mostly the corporate is where we grow at 50%, 60% MetroCarrier. If we see that we are efficient of managing the investment that we did in 2017, growing to those four cities, we might foresee opportunities of expanding the network, bringing new system, new services on top of what we have for the corporate. We would like to have that one in mind and invest in all those markets if we need it. That's why we have the cash available and the position to have flexibility for everything, like Luis said, that might be a right in the near or in the future.
Okay, that's a very helpful. Thank you very much. And a follow-up, if I may, on the dividends. Can you disclose what the dividend is going to be for this year, and if you have a sort of ballpark idea for next year?
Well, sure. The recommended policy is 15% of previous year EBITDA.
Audit
EBITDA, yes. But this year the board authorized a 20%
recommended.
We recommended.
The board recommended and was approved by the shareholders.
By the shareholders
meeting, yeah.
20% of previous year EBITDA, which resulted in the amount that Enrique Yamuni mentioned, which is 1,531 million pesos, and will be paid out.
One peso and 78 cents per CPO.
Per CPO. And will be paid out in May.
In May.
We don't know what's if the policy for the recommended policy that we adopted or the board adopted for the probable dividend is 15% of audited EBITDA. Well, this year the board decided that it was healthy to. We didn't have any problem recommending 20%. Well, we don't think that's going to be changing dramatically for next year, so that you can get your own conclusions.
Okay, great. Thank you very much again.
Welcome.
Thank you. And we'll take a follow-up question from Diego Aragoa with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking another question. So, you have touched on a very interesting point regarding how people have been changing the way they consume content, right? And that eventually you see more and more users accessing video service primarily via internet. So the question for you is how you see programming costs evolving going forward as, most of the content producers continue to face some structural headwinds. And as far as we know, they have been putting some pressures to the distribution side of the equation. So, that will be my follow-up question. Thank you.
Thank you, Diego. The way we see for LATAM or for Mexico is to migrate the regular one-way CTV, set-top box,
to a fully two-way interactive, non-linear experience, which is the XView, which also has the XView mobile that can be used in different devices, like cell phones or tablets. We already have the technology and the capability, and we have that product. In terms of the programming cost, what we see here, we always have a relation. You see our relation of programming cost to video revenue of around 29%, 28%, if I can recall. Luis might correct me on that part. We think we have room also to grow in our use and to keep that relation with our vendors the way we have it right now. Our XView platform already have contracts with different studios, and that's where we, if the studios decide or we decide to increase the number of assets that are set in that platform, our XView price right now, we think is an introductory price that if we feel we have some pressure on content, we might be able to increase that and pass some of that to the subscribers. Of course, the content providers in the last 20 years, they have adopted to the ARPUs of Latin America. It's not the same effect that we have for a sports channel in the U.S. to what we have in Mexico, for sure, because our economy is completely different. So we think this is a good industry and a good distribution company for major programmers on that part, and we will look to continue to have this in the years to come.
That's very, very helpful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Diego.
Thank you. And our last question comes from Gregorio Tomasi with Itua BBA. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Oh, no, sorry. My question has already been answered, and thanks again for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the program back over to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. We are very pleased with the first quarter of this year results. These strong figures we just reviewed are concrete evidence of our commitment to continue on track and focus our efforts on achieving our long-term goals. Thank you for your interest in Megacable, and please contact us for any other further doubts that you have or questions that you have regarding the company. We will be very happy to review any questions you may have, and thank you very much again for your interest, and have a wonderful afternoon and a weekend.